Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Committee Member Zuber?
Present.
Committee Member Kermode?
Here.
Committee Member Barbidge?
Here.
Committee Member Houchin?
Here.
Committee Member Guerrero Salgado?
Present.
Thank you. We need, from our last meeting, is there a motion to approve the minutes from that meeting?
Can we correct where Commissioner Kern River is spelled?
You can, yes. With that correction, are there any other corrections or additions?
I wasn't sure if the last name Ariola was spelled correctly. I've never seen it spelled that way, so I'm not sure.
You guys have it as A-R-R-I-O-L-A. I'm not sure. Yeah? Okay. Never seen it that way, but yeah.
Now do we have a motion for approval?
This is loud. I move that we approve.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Roll call for the vote, please.
Committee Member Zuber?
Yes.
Committee Member Kermode?
Yes.
Committee Member Barbidge?
Yes.
Committee Member Houchin?
Yes.
Committee Member Guerrero Salgado?
Yes.
Thank you. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons desiring to address the committee members on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the committee. Committee members may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the committee at a later meeting. Also, the committee may take action to direct staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. Please state your name before making your presentation. Does anyone from the public like to speak at this time? Seeing none. let's see, we're going to talk about the Measure K preliminary recommended budget for the fiscal year 2025-2026. It's a presentation by the County Administrative Office staff on Measure K preliminary recommended budget for fiscal year 2025-2026. CAO Anderson, will you handle that?
I will. Madam Chair and committee members, before I turn it over to staff, I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Nancy Anderson. I'm the CAO for Kern County. And just thank you for your time and commitment. This is a really important process for our budget, and we appreciate your time here today. So with that, I'll turn it over to Assistant CAO Elsa Martinez.
Okay. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Again, thank you for being here. You are correct. We have not been in this meeting since June, and there was a reason for it. Normally we would present a mid-year report to your committee, but based on what was happening, we thought it would be more appropriate to present the preliminary budget with the results of this current year. For future meeting and based on our presentation today, you're going to hear that we have a little bit of you know, there's a lot of changes happening in our community, both economic at the federal level. So we want to monitor our Measure K resources very carefully on the next fiscal year, and we will have a mid-year just to report back where we're at. And also, we're going to start our audit once this fiscal year finishes. One of the things that we put in the measure is that we want to be transparent to the public. We have our dashboard out in the website for anybody in the community to look at, but we also want to make sure that we have an audit to ensure that we're using the resources appropriately. So we'll be presenting that at the mid-year. But tonight we're here to present to your committee our recommendations for the preliminary budget for next fiscal year. And I thought it would be appropriate to remind ourselves what our roles. We at the County Administrative Office, our role is to recommend a budget to your committee based on county strategic plan, county-wide needs, available resources, public input based on the last survey that we did, and then direction from our board. Our role is to present that and to administer that budget. The Citizen Oversight Committee role is to review the budget for compliance with enacting ordinance, and you may also provide advice to our office and the Board of Supervisors. And again, the Board of Supervisors is the entity that will adopt the budget and make any amendments to the budget. As we mentioned, we look at this at the community input. The last survey we did was in 2022. Here's some of the results. We already engaged in doing a survey that will be used to inform the fiscal year 26-27 budget. We hire a consultant that is doing a scientific poll first. So if you happen to get a phone call, please answer the phone call. Give them good answers. Give them your input. But we're also going to do a general public survey. So we're going to be putting it on the website for the public to give us their input, just to make sure that we're still meeting the priorities of the community, not just for Measure K, but also for our strategic plan and overall county budget. So, again, if you get a phone call, answer that phone call. It's not a telemarketer. So what are the priorities that we're using for this budget? Again, similar to last year, as you saw in the package, we are not making any changes. Part of the challenges with Measure K that is sales tax driven, and there's a lot of changes happening in our community, so we want to ensure that we maintain the priorities that we engage this fiscal year, that we carry them to the following fiscal year. So tonight, our goal is to provide a budget overview both on revenue and expenditures. We're going to over some individual projects. These are not new projects. These are projects that we're carrying from this fiscal year to next fiscal year. But we want to give you an update where we're at with those projects, what are the performance measures, how have they been performing, and how are we using the resources efficiently. Joining me is Alex Alba. He's our budget director, and he's going to go over the rest of the presentation with you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. This slide here, you can see the decline in Measure K sales tax revenue, as Elsa alluded to. The estimated amount for 24-25 is projected to be $67.2 million, and we have 8 months of collection so far. Despite the economic conditions that included high interest rates and inflation, our sales tax revenue remained strong throughout 2024, largely due to one-time large projects that provided temporary stability. However, in recent reports from UCLA Anderson, Economic Outlook indicate that growth is expected to weaken in 2025, largely due to the continued effects of inflation and elevated interest rates. These conditions are anticipated to have a broad impact across multiple sectors, including consumer spending, housing markets, and business investments, contributing to an overall slowdown in economic activity. Given the anticipated revenue decrease, the county is taking careful fiscal approach to choosing not to introduce new initiatives for 25-26. Instead, efforts will continue to focus on preserving core initiatives that align with the community priorities. Additionally, if possible, setting aside contingencies to navigate against an economic downturn. As illustrated in this pie chart, the majority, 70% of our measure sales tax revenue originates from three key sectors: business and industry, fuel and service stations, and building and construction. The business and industry category has significant increase of tax allocations from large-scale energy projects, which are currently being received and categorized as one-time allocations. These temporary revenue sources have played a substantial role in stabilizing the budget amidst broader fiscal challenges. For fiscal year 23-24 and 24-25, approximately $23 million in total was provided from this one-time allocation. However, these funds are not anticipated in fiscal year 25-26, contributing to a decline. I know this graph or this slide is hard to read. It is included as part of our report, which might be a little more easy on the eyes. This slide, it provides a summary of the adopted budget, estimated actual expenses, and ongoing projects for 25-26. Additionally, this information is on the dashboard, as Elsa explained earlier. Throughout fiscal year 24-25, the departments remained focused on strengthening Measure K programs, ensuring continuation and enhancement of key initiatives. This fiscal year also included six new projects totaling $3.2 million. These initiatives included investment in county parks, emergency road repairs, at youth enrichment activities, enhanced treatment settings for uncustody youth, and expansion of mobile spay and neuter clinic in unincorporated Kern County. Measure K funding remains strongly prioritized towards public safety, with investments reaching $48.8 million, representing 92% of overall spending, with majority supporting ongoing costs. Given the economic uncertainty, including inflation and shifts in consumer spending, maintaining fiscal flexibility is essential. To safeguard against funding volatility, the county recommends increasing reserves to ensure stability. As noted on this slide, behavioral health and recovery services was provided in Measure K allocation to provide mobile crisis response in collaboration with law enforcement, focusing specifically on the area of East Kern. However, this project experienced significant difficulties in securing a qualified vendor during 23-24, and in 24-25, a vendor was secured and implementation began. However, due to labor discussions, the project is currently on hold until an agreement is met. This program is anticipated to become operational in fiscal year 25-26. Again, for 25-26, no new programs or projects are being recommended. Instead, any estimated revenue, overcollections, and unused resources will be allocated to existing initiatives, including park improvements, probation mental health space and security projects, and additionally, $5 million has been designated for the communication network expansion project. Any remaining funds will be placed into Measure K reserves to mitigate potential program cost increases or unanticipated revenue shortfalls. This slide, like the previous one, reinforces the county's commitment to public safety, aligning directly with the community's top priority. It highlights the ongoing investments in enhanced safety initiatives, ensuring Measure K resources are allocated effectively to support public safety and emergency services. Thanks to Measure K funding, in fiscal year 24-25, the Library Department has been able to maintain full staffing across all unincorporated branches, ensuring that each location remained open 5 days per week to serve the community. One of the department's key objectives was deploying the Bookmobile, which has now become a reality. Since February 2025, the Bookmobile has been operational 5 days a week, making scheduled stops throughout the unincorporated Kern County, and expanding access to library services for residents who may otherwise face barriers to traditional branch visits. Moreover, the annual visitor numbers and attendance at library events have exceeded 24-25 targets. Most unincorporated branches signaling strong community engagement and demand. The financial support provided by Measure K has not only funded essential materials, but also facilitated the expansion of programming, further enhancing the library's reach and impact across the county. The first year of Animal Services Targeted Spay and Neuter Initiative funded through Measure K was highly successful, contributing to the county's efforts in reducing pet overpopulation and improving animal welfare. As of quarter three, the department has completed over 2,500 surgeries, and projections indicate that 3,400 total procedures will be performed by June 30th, surpassing initial expectations. These efforts are helping to lower intake rates at shelters and promote responsible pet ownership across the county. Additionally, data from 23-24 revealed that over 50% of animals received at the shelter were under 5 months, highlighting the urgent need to be proactive in spay and neuter programs. In fiscal year 24-25, the county invested $500,000 in Measure K revenue to launch targeted mobile clinics in high-intake underserved areas. Since implementation, puppy intake has stabilized after 2 years of sharp increases, and clinics have reached pet owners who otherwise could not access services. Through the continued Measure K funding and community support, the county aims to further expand access to targeted spay and neuter services and strengthen public awareness campaigns to encourage participation. The Fire Safety Squads and Medical Units program embodies the core mission of Measure K funding, successfully achieving its goal of enhancing emergency medical response capabilities within the unincorporated areas of the county. The deployment of advanced life support units has significantly strengthened pre-hospital care, ensuring that patients in high-volume areas receive rapid, specialized medical intervention when every second counts. By strategically placing these ALS units, the county has improved emergency response efficiency while allowing other first response equipment and personnel to remain available for additional emergencies, reducing strain on existing resources. Department estimates indicate that the program has met the majority of its performance measures and is expected to exceed the benchmark set for effectiveness. Most notably, the impact of these ALS squads and medical units has been profound, with 35 lives saved since the introduction. This figure underscores the life-saving potential of rapid ALS intervention, demonstrating the program's critical role in strengthening the county's emergency medical infrastructure. As the county continues to evaluate future response strategies, maintaining and expanding ALS capabilities will be essential to ensuring continued access to high-quality, timely medical care for residents. The Sheriff Coroner Measure Case Initiative aimed to fill sworn staffing vacancies, particularly in custody setting, improve response time for emergency and non-emergency calls, supporting community-oriented policing through increased staffing availability, and reduce mandated overtime and relieve operational pressures on deputies. At the time Measure K was passed, the Sheriff Coroner had a 38% vacancy for all authorized detention deputies, necessitating the assignment of patrol deputies to custodial roles and a 24% vacancy rate for patrol deputies, limiting police presence and response capacity. These shortages led to increased mandated overtime and constrained ability for community response. Through Measure K funding and collaborative efforts between the Sheriff's Office, Human Resources, and the County Administrative Office, detention vacancies have been reduced to 13%. Deputy Sheriff vacancies have been reduced to 17%. And average response time for emergencies and non-emergency calls have been improved. Continued investment is expected to further reduce vacancies, improve response times, reduce overtime, and expand community policing contracts in unincorporated areas. This slide demonstrates the success of Measure K initiatives and department's ability to meet performance measures. The departments are exceeding expectations, filling vacancies, recruiting and retaining staff, saving lives, and enhancing vital services to the community. This concludes my prepared remarks, and our offices and representatives from the departments are available to answer any questions that your committee may have.
Madam Chair, again, as Alex mentioned, this concludes our presentation. We didn't highlight every program, but I can assure you every program is making progress. I thought those were some of the highlights of Measure K. Again, we're not adding new projects. We're going to see how revenue finish up this year. We have 8 months of collections, and any underspend, as you heard, we had trouble getting that team on East Kern to provide behavioral health services that are highly needed. Unfortunately, first was a vendor, second is negotiations with our workforce. There's some challenges there that we're addressing, and if we're successful, hopefully we'll have that team or that contractor in place to provide the services. We'll be happy to answer any question. We have some of our department heads here to answer any questions. We'll take any recommendations that you deem appropriate, and we'll incorporate for discussion with the Board of Supervisors.
I did have a comment on item 7 relating to the helping address mental. I know that is one that you called out. As I recall, last year I said it would be worthwhile to increase the budget there, knowing how much that impacts hospitals and homeless shelters, and it is kind of the root. I see that there's not an increase since we didn't use any of it last year, if it is something that can actually be increased this year since none was spent last year, because I really see it as a key area in Kern County, especially in District 1.
Yes, we would be happy to take that recommendation. I think our original estimate was based on the ability of the department to be able to bill for some services. So the number you see there is the net. It's the match that will be required to draw down federal dollars. With the changes at the federal level that are being proposed, we don't know how that's going to change, so we might have to, you know, perhaps use some of our carry forward to kind of make sure that they have the match to meet that need in those communities. So yes.
Thank you. I know it's a challenge, and it's like the biggest one in my opinion. It kind of is the crust of everything.
Can I? I would like to see more information on more projects, not just like the highlights. I think all of them are important, but I would like to see a few more.
Absolutely, we can do that. Their report includes everything.
Right.
We just highlight some of, you know, we value your time. I can spend all night talking to you all of the highlights. And we have some of our department heads here. So if you have specific questions in a program, they're here to answer your question. I can spend all night if
right.
you want me to talking over the success of some of our programs. So, but right. in the future, we'll be happy to include every single one.
I mean, and yeah, include, yeah, maybe you're right. Include every single one, but now maybe go through all of them just so we can see it on paper. You said that some of the project, you said some of the, they're here?
Department heads, some of our department heads are here. So if you have a question on a specific program, we'll be happy to either answer the questions or ask the department head to come to the podium.
I wonder if they would like to share something that we didn't see on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't.
We have representatives from behavioral health here. Our libraries are here. Our district attorney is represented as well. We have staff from probation department. So and our animal services and of course our sheriff. So every single one of them are here. If you have any specific question, if any of them just want to, I think my friends at the library are probably the ones I'm going to call on because I think they have been so successful in kind of reaching the community and bringing our bookmobile back. So, Ms. Sullivan, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Thank you. Sometimes what they present is a little bit different than what you present, and I see it like in our district when we have our board meetings. Sometimes it's nice to hear it from them.
I brought the crew.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Andy Sullivan, and this is part of my crew at the library. We have Shalyn, who's our assistant director, and Farah, who is our marketing guru. And did you say the bookmobile? Is that what I heard you say? And is that what you all want me to talk about, is the bookmobile?
I'd like to hear a little bit about it, yes.
Right on. Yes, so our bookmobile died at COVID and has been rebirthed past COVID. And it is 5 days a week right now. It's serving Lost Hills. It's serving the mountain communities, Caliente, great. Glenville. Lost Hills is our busiest stop. It's the kids. It stops at the schools. We have a lot. Anytime we stop at schools, we have great. Oh, Hart Park. I forgot. We have our park day on Saturdays. I was so excited. I wanted to take our bookmobile out to the parks and reach people that we don't normally reach. And so we're going to Hart Park, going to Polo Park in Rosedale. We don't have a library branch in Rosedale, which is really badly needed. And we have one more park.
Panorama.
Thank you. Panorama up in the Northeast. So it's been pretty successful. Would you guys like to add something?
Sure. So with Measure K, we were able to not only do projects like that, but marketing for some of our Measure K locations. And so we're successfully kind of getting the word out and bringing a lot more people into our Measure K library locations. And it's been a lot of fun kind of highlighting some of the stuff that they've been doing to get, you know, more people into the building. So,
yes, and coincidentally, our infrastructure project is moving right along our Measure K, and we're having a lot of grand reopenings. Miss Karen, I know that we asked you for our KRV one coming up pretty soon. So those have been really fun to reintroduce the public to their neighborhood libraries and invite them back and let them see all the new things that we have. Some are Measure K and some are not, but it's all good news for the library system in the county. Any other questions?
No.
I have one. I am so excited to hear that you're going up to the Caliente area. I know that the families up there have
yes.
struggled so much. I was curious if there was anything that happened in like Kernville or Onyx. Our children out in Onyx struggle, and it's so far, and there's not really adequate transportation. Is there any way we can add anything for the kiddos out in Onyx for the bus?
Unfortunately, we are not going to Onyx or to Kernville because they have a Lake Isabella branch, and I know that there's struggles with transportation. I understand that. I get that. So to think about this, we only have two staff people that run the bookmobile, and they can only do so many stops in one day. They do 4 tens, and I'm usually Measure K staff for a whole nother day to reach Lost Hills and some other places. So I hear you. And you're not the only one. There's Maricopa and others who are requesting it too. I'm going to try to figure out a solution for it. I thank you for bringing that up because I know it's needed.
Yeah, I think for Onyx, it's even further than the Caliente.
Yeah.
And I think the families out in that area struggle.
See, this is the need for libraries.
It
support
is.
The libraries.
Educate.
Any other questions?
Thank you so much for
thank
the work
you.
You're doing.
Thank you.
I would like to just address,
sure.
I'm sorry, because I was one that at the last meeting that I was at when we presented it, that I was concerned about the amount of resources going into the libraries.
Yeah.
And I'm here to say,
I don't think anybody needs a, I don't need a mic, sorry. As far as Buttonwillow goes, the amount of time it's spent at the library has increased.
Yes.
I am excited about all the programs that they are offering our children out in Buttonwillow. They're offering so much, in fact, that they're not formally supporting the recreation district out there, because a lot of the programs that the recreation district, who is suffering tremendously from lack of resources, the library has kind of introduced those same types of programs during those hours. And so it's been very beneficial. I would say, as far as Onyx and the previous questions, those families probably need it even more so than the Rosedale, because there is other public transportation that is not available up there. And so I would certainly, when I looked at the actual expenditures versus what we adopted last year, I was taken back that $954,000 had not been utilized. There was approved 2425, but the estimated actual. My concern is how many, these were easy for me to digest. Mm-hmm. Some of the other ones that are maybe on multiple pages of the budget, I'm concerned that we're not doing the oversight we need to make sure that the dollars go out. They've been approved, they're to be spent. And I know we spend a lot for management position adjustments, and I want to make sure that's not going to waste. And so
absolutely.
I take this, when I see something not expended, I need to know why. Having the mental health, I understand. That is great. We've got an explanation. It's moving forward. But on the library system, I don't understand why we have $954,000 that was approved the previous year that was not entered into.
It's been a struggle to hire too, just as it is with every other department across the county, especially in our higher specialized library degreed positions, and even bachelor's degrees. For what we pay people, it's hard to get continued staff. We've hired a lot. A lot of them have left and went elsewhere, usually the food industry, because they pay more. Really, Shalyn has been doing a lot of that. Is there something that you'd like to add, Shalyn, to the hiring?
Well, the hiring, we've got a pretty solid bookmobile staff now. It just took us a little time, and it also took us a while for the actual repairs of the vehicle, because it's basically like a big RV, and it has this really ancient 14-year-old generator. And so, honestly, a lot of the delays in that, in getting it on the road, was because of waiting for repairs, and we have to outsource it to like RV repair places. So it took us a little bit to get it on the road, and that's part of why we didn't spend it. I expect next year we would, but perhaps we can look at some other solutions.
I want to assure you, the library is a unique situation, because we're doing great things. Like, we're closing libraries to repair them. We got significant dollars and grants that are not Measure K to improve our libraries. Our libraries needed upgrades. We've been putting new air conditioning, carpet, furniture. I mean, you name it. I can't remember the dollar amount of the grant, it's about $12 million that we invest in. Unfortunately, we have to close during that time. And so but what I can assure you, that every Measure K dollar that is not used is reinvested in Measure K. We're not, you know, saying, oh, there's money left, we'll use it for something else. We use it within the programs that are outlined here. So if we have anything, I think we've been talking about, we had some discussions with the library whether they can use some of the savings in this last month for programming that they can use. So any dollar that is not used, we reinvest. We don't take it away. We don't do something else with it. So I just want to
show
you that.
It's a good question, though, Ms. Algin.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's self-explanatory.
And I'm not saying that it's not reinvested. My concern is when we pass a budget, I want it to be realistic.
Right.
I want to have the backup that says, this is what we need. Because if we have excess, then we need to look at other programs. Mm-hmm. We need to look at, there's a multitude of requests out there, and I don't want it to be limited just because we're throwing an exorbitant amount of money that hasn't had the backup detail to make it more official. And so those are my concerns.
Can I, while we're up here, invite you all to our grand reopening for our Kern River Valley branch. It's on June 4th. And we've got some flyers. So you can see one of our infrastructure buildings and how beautiful it looks when it's done.
Thank you.
If I could add real quickly, I was very excited to see the changes that were happening at the Lake Isabella Library before they closed for the remodel. I mean, the services that they added was just absolutely incredible. So I've been pleased with the additional services, and I'm excited to see how the other budget money was used to improve the library.
If you would like other department heads, I'm going to call on our fire department now. I know I'm probably going to pay for this, for making them come to the microphone.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Aaron Duncan. I am your Kern County Fire Chief. I just want to start. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to our pit projects. The project before you is one I'm very, very proud of. Our medical units and our safety squads have just been a game changer for the Kern County Fire Department. We're currently on pace to run 8,700 calls in the last 2 years. Our goal was 2,900 calls. So we've almost tripled the amount of calls that we projected to use with these safety squads and medical units. We are providing ALS paramedic service in our unincorporated county areas faster than we ever have before. We've saved 38 lives with this piece of equipment. They have just been just absolute game changers for us. I can go on and on. We've been able to hire 12 paramedics, 12 EMTs. We're getting full day coverage in areas we've never received. We've expanded into the Fraser Park area. We've expanded into Golden Hills, into the Kern River Valley, the Green Acres area. We're pushing out as far as we can with the resources we have. It's just been, it's just been really beneficial. So I'm happy to talk about it. If you have any questions, I'm gladly speak to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you able to give a breakdown by the district for the number of employees that you've hired?
By the district?
By the district or by the area?
No, I don't. I can kind of tell you what the scheduling is, that speaking with the squad. So that is the fire captain and firefighter. We have them deployed in East Bakersfield. We call Station 42. That's at Niles and Fairfax. And then we have one in Oildale, which is over off of right by North High. And then our third one is located in Rosemond, and that is those are staffed 365, 24/7. And then our medical units primarily work in the unincorporated areas around metropolitan Bakersfield. We use analytics, so we look at where Hall will place resources, where all the call volume is, and where the most calls for the fire engine, so that we can supplant that, so we're not wasting resources doubling up in areas.
Do you have that mic at each one of the fire stations in the districts, or
the call volume?
Yeah, I mean the additional support. So the paramedic support that you were referring to, is that? I'll research it. Never mind. Thank you.
If you want to talk off, I can gladly go through that with you.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you. I'm just because of how big some of the areas are, I just want to make sure that we're getting the appropriate staffing, because Lake Isabella area, out to Onyx and up into Caliente, it's huge, and the fire stations are so far away, and even emergency response. So just kind of curious how that got broken down, if because it's not that far across Bakersfield, but yet some of the areas it can take forever to get to in Lake Isabella, especially with the aging population up there, the need is greater.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Any other questions?
No, I just wanted to share that I do see those vehicles. I live right on Fairfax, so we see them all the time. The ones that, and they have the sticker in the back, funded by Measure K.
Yeah, we want to make a big advertisement for all the great work they're doing so that people can see them.
No, it's great. I think it's great that you see them throughout the neighborhood versus a big old fire truck or an ambulance. The response time has been quick. I do talk to my neighbors in the area, and they appreciate that. But to piggyback off what she was saying, I think we need to think a little bit outside the box and go into those areas where the stations are quite a distance from each other.
Okay.
Maybe more money there?
Do not ask if he'll take it.
I will say I will gladly work with our CAO to see if we could expand this project. I would love to do so.
So just like Isabella's poverty rate is 85%. And so when we start looking at that, the more resources we can put in that community for a variety of different ways just improves the trajectory for the next generation. And of course, that's what, you know, my goal is if they see this type of service, they can actually get ideas for career sourcing. So, I mean, it's way more than just the initial deposit into the community. It's what it does for the longevity of the community that makes the bigger difference.
I couldn't agree more. Our Wildland Crew program, a lot of our kids come right out of the Kern River Valley, and they work in that valley, and then we bring them on full-time. That is, it's been successful, and we'd like to do that in other areas.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
I'm going to highlight one of the CAO programs that we didn't put in there. We had an economic development. You'll see some savings because we had an economic development officer that resigned from the county, and we have to strategize how do we manage, and we kind of restructure for our office. But I can assure you for the $468,000 that we spent on that section, they have been worth every penny. They brought grants for Lake Isabella area. We also have a local grant to teach small business owners how to run their business. It's through Fields, and so we can refer people that, you know, they're barely starting their small business and they want some financial literacy. They can go to a class that we are providing a grant. We have also been successful. We're working with our public works department, our fire department, our planning department. We need to bring businesses into our community to ensure that we have, you know, employment, that we have a good tax revenue source. And so one of the things that we started doing is we hire, part of the spending that you see here, we hire a vendor, this expert on permitting. How are we doing efficiently? Looking at our processes to ensure. So we started that process. They gave us our first report that says, you need to improve. I mean, that was the bottom line. we've been doing it the same way, and we've been doing it in silos. So now we're having a more cohesive, we're starting that process, a more cohesive, to see not only how we can save money on how we do things, but make it faster and better. And I think less than $500,000 investment has been worth every single penny of it. I think we continue to look for grants and opportunities out there to see what we can bring to other communities. So that's one of the programs. The last person, and if you want more, we can bring it, but one of the areas that we didn't highlight is the district attorney's office, and I think they have been doing a great job. And I tell you, I'm going to pay for this because calling them on, putting them on the spot. But I think they have done such a great job that I want to give them an opportunity to highlight some of the things that they've been doing.
Good evening, Madam Chairman, members of the board. My name is Ken Russell, and I'm an assistant district attorney. We've been able to use the Measure K funds to staff investigators in our regional courts. We have 5 regional courts in Delano, Shafter, Lamont, Ridgecrest, and Mojave, and we've assigned investigators there. And it's unusual for us to have investigators assigned to these regional courts. Normally, our DA investigators are responsive. The Sheriff's Department or local law enforcement will conduct an investigation, and our investigators will do follow-up. In this case, with the Measure K, they're actually out there doing proactive citizen contacts. They're doing original investigations. They're solving rural crimes and thefts. They're doing thefts from out on the farm fields, stolen vehicles, chop shops, EBT fraud. All those things are being done by Measure K investigators. And it's been a tremendous boon with this extra money that we have. We've been able to backfill some of the positions that we've had. We have never before had trained paralegals assigned. Excuse me, I'm getting over cold. We've never had assigned paralegals into these regional courts, but now we have one in each of our regional courts, which helps our local attorneys prosecute the cases better, better serving these regional communities that have traditionally always been very important to Ms. Zimmer, and that we always try and fully staff. And this has allowed us the freedom to do that without hurting our ability to prosecute cases downtown. So Measure K has been fantastic for us, and I want to thank you all for the time and energy that you've put into managing this fund. Any, do you have any questions for me?
I'm starting to be a hog tonight, so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am.
I know that we don't currently have anything up in the Lake Isabella area, but the Ridgecrest area is definitely, that was able to stay open is wonderful. I do have a question, and I'm not sure where we can get the information on, but I know that we have listed property crimes.
Yes.
So we have such an incredible problem in Lake Isabella area with squatters and with drugs.
Yes.
And all that goes with it, and again, the mental health issues. That is there some way that we can get instructions, or is there a place that we can go? There's not a good place to address this, but I know that it's something that we're going to be dealing with at my nonprofit. And so, just kind of curious, can someone direct us as to what we can do about the squatters? We have a veteran up there that went to the hospital and came home, couldn't get back in his home. It's huge up there.
If they are squatting, then there are resources that can be done with both the Sheriff's Department and with the investigators from my office, and I think I'd be happy to talk with you and see if we can get a little directed focus in there. The investigators for that area would probably come from our Ridgecrest area, but we're able to help with that. That's the value of having investigators that are assigned to these areas. If the Lake Isabella courthouse was still open, we would still have attorneys there, and we would have an investigator assigned in that community. Based on the way Measure K is written and funded, but we can certainly address that. I can share my information with a clerk here, and then I can talk with you about that if you'd like.
I appreciate it, because even with even code compliance, it's something that we have a huge challenge with in trying to get anything reported. So I would love to have just access for the information. I know that was kind of off topic, but property crimes related, right?
No, it's very relevant. It's a huge part of the problem that we have today, and it's something that we hear constantly with citizens in the community. And when we have our investigators out there, and sometimes law enforcement agencies get so busy solving other types of crimes that we have contact with them, and we're able to go out and initiate and take reports and do follow-up investigation. And we've solved numerous amounts of property crimes and thefts and retail thefts and commercial burglary, all kinds of things. And so it's very relevant to Measure K. It's a huge part of living in these rural communities that they're can be underserved by other agencies. And it's no fault of their own. It just priorities, and everybody gets busy. So we're happy to help.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah, and please, feel free. Send me an email, and we can talk about it some more.
I will.
Yes, ma'am. Happy to help. Any other questions? Okay, thank you again. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Can we hear one more?
I'm interested in the spay and neuter.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Nick Cullen. I'm the Director of Kern County Animal Services. So our part of Measure K is a spay and neuter program. It's really expanding on the spay and neuter program that we already have. It's targeting the spay and neuter program that we have. Just to give you some idea, you know, we in the county, really the entire county, not just animal services, but we are in the midst of a crisis. And that crisis is just this explosion of dogs and cats that are coming into animal shelters and really flooding our community. And that is evidenced in our statistics, which we're on pace to take in over 10,000 dogs at the county shelter this year. We haven't taken in 10,000 dogs in about 12 years. So it's a crisis. And what's driving that statistical increase is puppies. We're up pre-pandemic. We would normally see about 22% of the dogs that we received were puppies under 5 months of age, it's over half now. So about half of the dogs we're receiving are puppies. And there's a disproportionate amount of animals that are entering the animal shelters that are coming from the targeted areas. And so that's what this program is doing. You know, there was a request of some information from me today as far as the Measure K funding about the total amount of surgeries that had been completed just in the third quarter. And I just was sitting in my chair and I did some math in case I got called up here. And just to give you some sort of idea, the amount of surgeries that were accomplished just in the third quarter of this fiscal year prevented the offspring of about 1.2 million dogs and cats just from the third quarter. And so that's the importance of this program, is stopping the proliferation of dogs and cats, especially puppies that are entering our shelters right now. And, you know, we are always looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, just hoping that we'll see some sort of decrease, you know. But I think right now we're at least, you know, hitting our knees and praying to God that there's been a leveling off of the amount of animals and the amount of puppies that are entering our shelters. So this program is one of the more important programs that I think the county has right now. I'm probably biased in that, but you know, we have to cut down on the amount of animals that are in our community because there's such an exacerbating downstream effect and problems that it causes. So I can answer any questions about the spay neuter program or anything about animal services, really.
I know that a lot of this came from COVID. You could not get in to spay your animals. So,
yeah, it really hasn't recovered.
Nope.
There is a stark contrast statistically pre-COVID, post-COVID, and we're still seeing some disastrous effects of it.
I was just thinking, have you ever reached out to, like, the local district so they can push that information through their parent centers and through their resources and just, I mean, it doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah, we don't have a problem with people signing up. Actually, if it's a problem, the problem is that we don't have enough resources to meet the demand. We have a problem in the county, but really across the state, and what we call access to care.
Mm-hmm.
The cost for veterinary care is astronomical. And we did a study the last 2 years just locally in Kern County just to determine what the average cost that somebody would have to pay to get their medium-sized female dog spayed, and it was over $600. And so when you're dealing with a community that has high levels of poverty, people struggling to make ends meet, to ask them to afford $600 to fix their dog,
right,
that'll explain to you why there's so much demand for this program. You know, our Measure K funding is $500,000, but all told, the county's investing $1.1 million in spay and neuter just this fiscal year because we have to try to get as many resources out there in the community as we can because people want it.
Right.
This isn't the sort of program that we put out there and we're struggling with people signing up and we're struggling with demand. No, demand far exceeds the amount of resources that we have. And so I appreciate that effort. We do work with each district office when we are putting together clinics to help promote them. But for an example of that is we were just out in Rosamond mm-hmm. twice, and then we were in Boron the week after, and I worked directly with our contacts in the Rosamond offices, Rosamond Municipal Committee, and just to network. We didn't have to advertise on social media at all. We just went right to the district offices and said, hey, put this out there, please. And people just signed up in droves.
Sometimes just educating people in certain areas, it'll give them a better understanding of why it's important to spay and neuter your dogs, cats.
Volunteer at the shelter and you'll see it pretty quick.
Well, you know, there's some people that just don't go to shelters, don't take their pets to the vet, right? And I noticed that in certain areas there's a lot more dogs out in the street than there is in other parts. I don't want to say names or sites, but sometimes just even if you were able to put a Q&A on information, it'll just help them educate. It doesn't hurt.
I agree.
I don't know if that's within your budget, but maybe we can give them more money.
I wouldn't deny. I wouldn't decline if that were to come my way.
If you offer, they'll take it.
I can answer any of the questions.
I just wanted to comment that just like healthcare, veterinary care is, there is such short staffing shortages in that area. I know up in Lake Isabella, it's almost impossible to get into a vet. They're just so backlogged, and so I really appreciate the fact that this has stepped up. I know that you guys are doing the spay and neuter clinics up in Lake Isabella as well, and so it's a huge problem, and I appreciate the work you're doing on it.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. We'll be happy to take any direction. Your action today is to hear our presentation and then make any recommendation you feel appropriate for our staff and our board of supervisors.
Excuse me, I did have one other question. Is there somebody here that can address the expansion of the emergency communication system and the progress?
Yes, I would be happy to do so. So this is, as I mentioned when we started this project, this is a long-term project. We are actually, one of our challenges was acquisition. As you remember, we were going to do new sites to increase the connectivity. And it was challenging, even with acquired rights from our federal government to put the towers. So we're finally at that process. They're at the permitting process. So they're pulling permits for the construction. Once you get that process done, things move a little bit faster. And so we're hoping, and this project was intended to be 6 years from beginning to construct to end of construction. I think it's going to take probably an extra year. Regarding Measure K, this is our last year of allocation for that project. We ask you for a commitment, and this is our last year. We met that commitment. So that's going to free up some funds next fiscal year to do other projects that your committee may want to recommend. But we are at the permitting process. They're working with our planning department, our building inspection team, to kind of make sure the construction of the new sites are done. And then hopefully, you know, we were very lucky, I'm going to tell you, that we signed that contract when we did, because now with everything going on in the world, the cost of the equipment is just becoming astronomical, and we signed our agreement just in time, so we had a fixed price. Our Measure K commitment is ending, so we'll have some funds available, not this coming fiscal year, but the year after, to assign to other resources.
Thank you.
I had one other question before we closed. The information for the mental health and substance abuse, I know that we don't currently have the, you know, that's not all set, but is there a way that we can get an update when it is? I really feel that's the cap. And everything's going to trickle down from there. I believe that is the critical source that we need the help in. And so I would love to have an update once with that project actually gets started.
Absolutely. We're going, as I mentioned, we have some labor issues. And so once we're hoping that we can get those finalized and resolved, and we can send you an email as soon. We have a vendor that is willing and ready to do it. We just have to go through the negotiation process with our labor group.
I do know that is it's actually a critical area of staffing shortages. And so I'm actually personally working with colleges to try to come up with certificate programs to help expedite the filling of those jobs. And so I do understand there's a lot there, but I am really excited to be able to see that move forward. So thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I'd like to comment by saying thank you to the committee for everybody being here and for your interest and your willingness to give your time. And also thank you very much to different members of the staff of the county for being here and being available to answer some questions we have, particularly Elsa, thank you. And so I'm going to turn to our CAO, Anderson, and see what you would like to do about scheduling the next meeting.
I think I'm going to boat that over to Elsa. She probably has it on her next item.
So thank you for that. I think what I need from you is just a motion to receive and file our report and make to approve to move it forward to our Board of Supervisors. Is that correct, Kathy, before we schedule? So I would entertain, if your board wants to make a motion to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went right on by that. Yes. Measure K, preliminary recommended budget for fiscal year 2025-26. Presentation by the County Administrative Office staff on Measure K, recommended budget. We heard that. And?
I would take a motion and a second.
I'll move.
Madam Chair, we're curious about public comment. I don't know if there's anybody from the public who wants to make a comment.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't on my schedule, so I didn't ask. I'm so sorry. If there's someone in the audience that would like to comment at this point, please come forward. Wonderful.
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade with my comments, but I'm concerned about the ongoing budget plans for Measure K. Some of you may know that I heavily supported this measure. Previous CAOs, I've not yet to meet you, nice to meet you, and members of the Board of Supervisors since the inception of Measure K assured the community that although it had the discretion in how the funds could be used by law, the way this is set up, the chief focus was for public safety department enhancements rather than general programs and major maintenance. As far as the majority of citizens were concerned, Measure K was not meant to enhance funding in other areas that were typically funded or already funded by other sources, such as the county general fund, or their responsibility to put that in the county general fund, grants, except in special circumstances such as mental health programs for the homeless to ensure safety on our streets or other safety issues in our community in general. So having said that, I'd like to address that even though spay and neutering is a very important program and always has been, the county has allotted in their own budget up to $500,000 every year. And I don't think that this is a good use of our funds going forward. I could see it maybe this year, but I don't think that that should be an ongoing program, that should be either a grant or some other program covered by general funds like it was before. Fire department. In the 2021-22 grand jury report, recommendations that were that within 12 months there should be a developed strategy to repair or replace all stations 50 plus years old or over the next 5 to 10 years. That would be 2026 to 2031. At that time, 15 stations were over 50 years old, 9 were over 60, and the oldest was 71 years old. I've toured some of them. What is the plan for the rehabilitation of the 50 plus fire stations identified in the grand jury report? Yes, they're building one, but there is no plan that I know of for them to continue to build them. Measure K funds were specifically aimed toward enhancing our public safety services, namely sheriff, fire, probation, DEA, and mental health services related to public safety. It wasn't meant to be a slush fund for all the stuff that the general fund can't seem to cover, and that's what my worry is. And as far as the libraries, I'm thrilled that we're able to finally fund our libraries, but we have to remember that the public voted down the 1.5% sales tax, which is a lot of money for that. And we shouldn't be taking the complete responsibility for the libraries away from the general fund. That is not the intention of Measure K, nor our super major maintenance projects. I hear about them all the time. Gee, we can use Measure K funds for that. Gee, that we can use Measure K funds. The structure of this particular measure had to include some general allowance for other projects, but that is not the main focus. And previous CAOs, there's been two other ones prior to our current CAO, ma'am, and they absolutely assured that that would be the focus, and I'm seeing it already fading. So please listen to that, and I have my comments here for Kathy, if you want to have them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Get your name for the record, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Carol Bender, I'm in District 1.
Thank you.
Oh. Do we have a comment?
I think Ms. Bender and I communicate often, and I'm glad that she came and addressed that. She's not wrong that our fire stations need replacement. Your board, your committee approved the replacement of one in Hart Flat. That is already underway. And the plan is that Measure K is not going to replace every fire station. There is a fire fund responsibility there. And so the plan was, as we finish one with Measure K, those resources then will be available to fund another one on incorporated areas. But we have fire stations that we as a county are going to have to cover. 100% agree with her. Our animal services, I think you heard that we're investing, the county's already investing. This is a match. There's a great need. And if you read on our report, we indicate that this is our second year, and we anticipate moving forward this to our general fund. We just need to help them get to a point where they're not receiving the number of animals they are getting from our unincorporated areas. And if you look at the priorities the community gave us, I think it's included there. For libraries, no, Measure K is not funding the entire library system. We have general fund dedicated. We have we dedicated a good portion of our American Rescue Act plan to help them. So it is $2 million in over $10 million budget. This is what this is doing, is enhancing services. We have programming that we never had before. We have services that we never had before. This is not supplanting general fund resources. This is enhancing what we already had to a level that the community asked for. Again, we'll be out at the community with a survey, and maybe the priorities change, and we're going to have to figure out how we address those new priorities, and we'll bring that to your committee in our next meeting. You know, we'll have the results by our next meeting. We'll bring that to you, present you what the community say, and maybe we address the priorities. So Measure K is not the savior of all. We still have to invest general fund resources to get us to equipment replacement, spay and neuter, and supporting our libraries.
I had one quick question. When we finish the communication, that budget that's going to be ending in next year, mm-hmm. how much is that going to allow us to improve the things that Ms. Bender was mentioning?
We'll have $5 million available. Well.
Thank you. Are there any other comments from the audience? No? Well, thank you once again. To staff and to members of the audience and to committee members for your time and effort. And now, can we schedule the next meeting?
I will make a motion to accept and to present the committee's findings.
Is there a second?
I second.
Do you want to call it?
Okay, committee member Zuber.
Approve.
Committee member Kermode?
Yes.
Committee member Barbich?
Yes.
Committee member Houchin?
Yes.
And committee member Guerrero-Slegado?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion approved. Now we can schedule the next.
As I mentioned at the beginning, we'll have a meeting hopefully in January, because we'll be presenting survey results, the results of our audit, if it's completed at that time, and at mid-year results. So we'll be reaching out to the committee members to check your availability sometime late January, early February. If there are dates that do not work for you, please let us know, and we'll accommodate as much as we can. And then we'll have again after that meeting in late in May to review the following year budget. So we'll reach out and we'll make sure the community and it's advertised to the public so everybody's aware when the meeting is going to happen. But if you have dates already, just email our Amanda Ruiz in our office and we'll start coordinating a date.
Okay. Well, without further, we're adjourned. Thank you all.